We'd like to say good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and we call the meeting to order.
Good afternoon.
So, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Will you lead us in a pledge of allegiance?
Absolutely. Please stand. Hand over your heart. Flag is right behind. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty
and
justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have some new faces. We're going to do roll call. My name is Joanne McGee. I'm city staff.
I'm Joseph Crawford.
Daniel Press.
Latanya Harris Prune.
Mr. Costa, Park Supervisor.
Jose Acevedo.
Jesus Fiesel.
Jessica Robinson. I am a clinical educator and data analyst for the National City Fire
Department. And Scott Robinson, Battalion Chief of National City Fire Department.
Thank you. So we're going to go a little out of order today. So we want to make sure that we get all the staff reports in. So, visitors, would you like to provide your staff report?
So Victor's on vacation all this week. I really want to have a staff report for us. He did the usual maintenance for streets, parks, weed maintenance, medians, you know, the general maintenance of our parks. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have any questions for me. I know you probably, are you guys getting going at Las Palmas already, or?
Yeah, we have Pablo right now.
Anything going on over there?
I spoke with Victor yesterday. The lights are... they're still under contract, but I let him know that the lights on the field, uh-huh. They're dimming out.
Okay.
And so he said he's going to contact them to get them out there to kind of maintenance or replace whatever has to be fixed. But other than that, yeah, we're good.
How's Pablo's been on
that? Good. They had a small turnout. The fast pitch had a pretty small turnout, but.
Yeah. We probably have a pool coming.
Yeah, we'll go into that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll resume back to the agenda. Do we have any non-agenda public comments? So this is not part of the committee reports, just any non-agenda public comments? No? Okay. May we have approval of the minutes for September 17th, 2024? If you were present, you may make a motion to approve or not to approve, and then we need a second.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to approve.
I second the motion.
My name is Scott Robinson with the National City Fire Department. I've been with the fire department for about 23 years. I'm battalion chief and a paramedic, and I am in charge of all the emergency medical services for the city of National City. So we came together, fortunately, my wife actually does a lot of this as well. She's a clinical educator for cardiac arrest survival for National City and for about four or five other departments in the South, or in the East County in South Bay. We came over to Joanne, and we're trying to get a grant for the City of National City for AEDs in public places. So our goal is to provide an AED for every park in National City. So obviously the ones that owned by National City, Lincoln Acres as well, and then the one down on the port, which would be
Pepper Park.
Thank you. Joanne asked that I come speak to you guys and get your support and obviously answer any questions that you may have. So we do have a PowerPoint presentation I'll whip right through because it's not necessarily designed for this committee. It was designed for our presentation for grants.
Sure.
So I will kind of pick and choose ones, slides to go through. If you have questions, please feel free to ask.
It's a grant proposal, and then parks and providing AED, public access, AED is a small part of that proposal.
Sure.
So one of the things that, I don't know if you guys know or not, cardiac arrest, out of hospital cardiac arrest, there's about 450 to 500,000 every year. That's not in hospitals. Of those, about 15 to 16% are actually in public places. So that's about 75 to 80,000 a year in the United States that are out in public places. So significant amount. And of all the public access AEDs that we have in the United States, it's about only 99% of them are in facilities. So we actually have a robust public access defibrillator program here in National City in all the city buildings. So we have two here in City Hall, and obviously the fire stations have them, other libraries have them, other places that are owned by the city have them. However, those are not accessible 24/7. So our brainchild is to get every park, like I said, in National City to have at least one, if not multiple. A couple other stats to talk about. Of those, 500,000 people that do have cardiac arrest every year out of the hospital, the survival is less than 10%. It's actually closer to about 6% across the nation. Obviously, there are different factors that go into play here. So Seattle, King County, they have a very robust CPR program. They teach it in high school, so everybody's required to know it. So their survival rate is a little bit higher. Other places, obviously, it's a little bit lower. We in National City, we do a really good job with education over firefighters, but a lot of the means to be successful is by getting bystander CPR and having AEDs in the area. So because of that,
there's this thing called the chain of survival, which helps increase survivability. And each of these links plays an important role in whether or not a person survives from cardiac arrest. One is...
So recognizing and activating emergency services, so calling 911. High quality CPR done immediately, which unfortunately in lower income areas, there is a hesitation of starting CPR, and
studies have found that in Hispanic communities or in low-income communities, victims of cardiac arrest are actually much more less likely to receive bystander CPR and assistance from the community.
So this is one of the reasons that we want to do this here in National City. Obviously, we work in National City, so National City is where we want to be effective anyway, but there's definitely this area where we can improve significantly by having these.
The next link is early defibrillation, which is what we're talking about for AEDs. So they are a very simple device that is extremely easy to use. Children as young as 4 or 5 can put it on and turn on the button. Basically, you access the defibrillator, you open it up, there's instructions, turn on, a voice comes on and tells you exactly what to do. You can adjust those, you can put them in different languages, you can do various things, right? There's many products out there for the AEDs, but the idea is early access to defibrillation.
Fourth chance survival is basic and advanced emergency care. That's when you call 911, the fire engine, ambulance comes out and then performs that basic and advanced life support. And then the last chain is advanced life support at the hospital. So we're trying So we do a very good job at number four and number five. We're trying to get a better job done on number one, two, and three throughout the city. So because, as you guys know, being dealing with parks, our parks in National City are highly utilized. So being able to put AEDs at our parks would significantly help potentially with these problems. So this is what they look like. Or this is a one brand of what it would look like. It would be locked, but when you call 911, they will have a code that they can give you to unlock that and to be able to tell you where in the park that AED is located. So for example, if we were talking about Kimball Park, they would tell you there's two or three located here, here, and here. Go to your closest one. The code to get in is 911, whatever it is. They open it up, and then they would have access to the defibrillator. They would teach you and talk to you as you go on how to use it, how to perform CPR. So these are the possible locations that we're looking at. So in every park, a Butterfly Park, Calle Abajo, the baseball fields, which technically is not owned by National City, Elsinore Park, football field, the walking paths, Kimball Park, Las Palmas Park, Lincoln Acres, Paradise Creek Educational Park, Pepper Park, and then the Aquatic Center.
And part of why the towers are so important, what Scott mentioned, the 24/7 access. 99% of all AEDs are in a locked building. That's great if you have a cardiac arrest during business hours on Monday through Friday. However, that doesn't happen.
Right. So, for example, there is an AED at the National City Aquatic Center. However, it's only accessible when someone is there and the building is open, so it's not really accessible 24/7. So, yeah, let's play this. So this is a video of a community in Florida that currently has this setup of what we're looking to get. So hopefully this will play. It's not working full screen. So can everybody see it hopefully?
Yeah.
So it's 2 or 3 minutes long. It'll give you an idea.
There
are not.
There are not.
Wow. So we would be assuming we get this grant, assuming you guys are want to do this, we would be the first city in San Diego County.
So there may be other private spots.
Yes.
So many times, Scott's been told about adolescents or kids actually having cardiac arrest, and families will then contact foundations, the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation, and sponsor a tower. So in Northern California, that occurred in a small town. Their son, 17-year-old, was playing basketball, had a cardiac arrest, and died. And then the family did a foundation, did a fundraiser, and put up a tower on their own. But there's no official cities who are sponsoring this.
Yes.
What about like the school systems? Because same thing you used to talk about.
So one of the things that we're gonna all touch on right now is National City or National School District, which is the elementary school district in our city, has become the first elementary school district in the country that is a heart-safe elementary school district.
Wow.
So they have AEDs at every school. The fire department.
Elementary students.
The fire department has gone around and taught all the teachers how to do CPR, and they now have GO teams, which if there is a CPR, they say a code over the loudspeaker, and they go to that area so that they are all fully educated. So this would kind of tie into that. So they've already done that. And that was because the superintendent, her husband, suffered cardiac arrest at home, but that brought a lot of attention to it, and she became passionate about it. So one of the things about this is this is all well and good. If CPR isn't being done, if an AED isn't being done, every minute that it takes for the fire department to arrive, it reduces the chance of survival by about 10%. So on an average response in National City, it's between 4 and 6 minutes, and that's assuming the closest unit is coming. National City, as you guys probably know, fire department is very busy, we run lots of calls. So if the second closest city, unit has to come, it's gonna be a couple minutes longer. So then that decreases the chance of survival significantly.
Just the point that we were making there, the video shows an older gentleman playing, whatever that is, I can't think of it, but thank you, Corbin. But it also affects children, and that's why we're kind of focusing on parks. Mm-hmm. Because while the elementary schools have them, again, it's during school hours, and then it's locked up.
Exactly.
So one of our big points that has to be part of the deal is having them 24/7, so that it's not just older people. It can happen to anybody, unfortunately.
So that's basically our spiel. We're looking for, obviously, you guys to support this. We'll answer any questions. I would like to caveat this by saying I'm sorry that little unprepared. I've been out on fires the last 2 months, so I haven't had a lot of time to work on this for this committee meeting, so I apologize.
A couple questions. My name is Daniel Perez. The grant, where are you looking to get grants from?
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
So National City is part of a partnership with Regional Care Cooperative Partnership. Yep. So they have a grant writing program that offers assistance in finding nationwide grants.
Okay, so you're going to have an agency to find?
Yes.
Okay.
And so the fee would be, it's 5% of any grant that you receive. If you don't receive a grant, you don't pay for it.
Right. And that's basically, you're going to request the city to cover that expense?
Yes. Okay. So most likely the fire department.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll just go through all my questions.
Sure.
And then in terms of, I hate to say it, but securing the device,
yes.
Are those units tamper-proof? Because
so,
people like to tamper.
That's a great question.
On a national average, when you put public access defibrillators out, there is about a 10% tampering.
Okay.
Or a thieving, vandalism. That's why we're gonna have them locked, just like it is on the commercial.
Sure.
So when you call 911, Now, so these will all be inputted into our dispatch. Mm-hmm. So once they click on the area that you're in, it will be able to say, look, the closest AED is at this address. The code is this. So if you call 911, they will be able to give you that code.
Okay. Now, and then kind of in line with that, what's typically the price for each device?
They're about $1,000 to $1,500.
Okay, so that's not too bad. And then what about in terms of the unit itself? Not the AED, but the actual stand. Does it require electricity? Does it require...
It does not.
Okay, so there's not going to be any additional work that's going to have to happen.
There's a couple of different options. There's a couple of different manufacturers out there that have different things. Some, you know, have an alert if you tamper with it to kind of help with tamper, but they're designed to be self-sufficient. You could put them in the middle of the desert and it would be on its own.
And then what's the typical useful life of the battery inside the unit itself?
So the AED battery is usually 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
So in the fire department, for all the public access defibrillators that we have now, we have somebody that goes over and does maintenance, buys new pads, buys new batteries, and that will be taken in by the city budget.
Okay. And that's the only reason why I'm touching on this, simply because obviously they're going to look at the dollars, right? That's the first thing they would go to. And I think it'd be great if you include that. I know you said this is kind of a very thrown together quickly presentation.
There is a fancier budget.
And this is part of a bigger proposal. So we're also proposing that we have a person that does community-based education for CPR, goes to the sports teams, teaches them, and things like that.
Emergency action plans.
Sure.
So that whole grant proposal would cover all of the activities under that for increasing our national city bystander, or our national city cardiac arrest survival rates.
Gotcha.
So there's lots of components to that. Like Scott said, educating, you kind of saw on that video, they talked about the fire stations doing free CPR events.
Right.
The coordinator would work with different communities, different businesses to coordinate that.
Okay.
So it would be the parks section, the Project 100, as Seattle's calling it. The parks part would be a portion of that.
Sure. Okay, gotcha.
And there are preliminary budgets, but we have to kind of figure out what's needed, what people want in the community, and what's available. It depends on what grants you get.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, just my two cents, I think it's a great idea. Obviously, you know, you gave the statistics in terms of how many, you know, you said 16% happen in public places. I don't even think that's necessary. One life is enough. You get what I'm saying?
And I will say we've had two in the last 2 years at these parks.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, so it makes sense to me. But yeah, I think that's great. I think including all those components will just strengthen the, I'm not gonna say argument, but the push to actually get this approved, absolutely.
I want to know, will we offer some type of like pilot? So will it be at one location or a couple locations first, or is it something that we're just gonna, once we get the grant, it'll just be in those particular places, or will we start with?
So I want to say our vision would be just to put them everywhere.
Yeah.
That is something that we can definitely look into if that would be preferred. The problem with that is, so the pilot would be looking to see if it was useful. Mm-hmm. And if you have it at one park, you have to have one CPR at that park. Mm-hmm. And if you have one at another one, then we missed some of
those. Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, and that we can definitely look into that if that's what.
We've discussed that if it's a 2 grand of a plan, there are contingencies for putting them at the most used.
Frequently.
Yeah, so we looked at numbers of uses. And
I think in any, most any other project or implementation of something, you would typically start with the pilot. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're kind of, now you're kind of betting that it's going to happen
here,
there,
not
which,
here, yeah.
which isn't necessarily a great wage.
Which is not a good way.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Any other questions?
I do.
Yes.
I didn't catch the name of the grant.
So we
regional.
That was the Regional Cooperative Care Partnership. That's not the grant. That's just a company. It's an
agency.
It's a collaboration of fire departments to do QAQI, and then through that we have a grant agency.
They provide
education. Okay.
Services.
And one more question. I see that the survival rate is what has attracted the attention of the community. But I didn't hear anything why this is occurring. Now, in thinking about this issue, I see that there are things going on within the community that's causing this high stress level. Actually, among the young men and women, there is a lack of security in terms of them witnessing the past 20 years of events. So, in terms of this technique, it's after what I call after wits. We don't play afterwards, we play dead wits. So, in your survey, what's causing this high level of men and women and you not being able to survive cardiac arrest?
So, I think there is a large discrepancy about the public opinion on what actually happens in a cardiac arrest. So, there's been a couple studies on movies and TV. So if you watch TV or movies and you watch them do CPR, the survival rate is about 80-90%. And that is that's never been true. So the problem in a cardiac arrest is there's a lot of stuff going on and you don't always know what the primary reason. Was it a heart attack? Was it because they didn't get dialysis? Was it because their blood sugar is low?
Drown.
So there's a lot of comorbid factors relating to cardiac arrest. And because of that, that's what brings the survival rate so low. In hospital cardiac arrests, there's a higher chance of survival, and that has to do with you have medical care right there, start immediately versus out of the hospital, you have to call 911, you hope someone starts CPR, it takes us time to get there, which all lowers the chance of success. But I would say in an ideal world, you're not going to save everybody just because most people who have cardiac arrest are elderly. They have comorbid factors. I don't want to say they're ready to die, but they're at the end of their life. Whereas the people that we're really trying to save are those that have cardiac arrest because of sudden cardiac arrest, because they're playing basketball, because they're playing football and they got hit like that for example, him. He was perfectly healthy. He got hit in the chest at the exact right time where the heart was in a weird flux. And that's what caused him to go into cardiac arrest. Those are the people that have a high survival rate if we get CPR done immediately and if we get a defibrillator on them right away. And that's what we're trying to do.
Mr. Robinson, all due respect, I asked the question, what is the circumstance and condition that's causing this increase in cardiac arrest? I can understand seniors because they're getting older. I'm a senior myself, and I know getting older it creates sickness. But my question is, what is causing such a high rate with you? I can understand health issues, but I also see other circumstances and conditions that we need to address in order to prevent continued increase in cardiac arrest.
So,
however, we'll leave it like it is because it requires some more conversation.
Right, that's
it. But I'm asking you to take a look at it since the two of y'all are involved, because there's always a cause for the effect. This is just the effect. The increase of men and women passing because of that circumstance and condition. But what about before? What about the things that we can do
to prevent this
increase?
Yep.
We're addressed in spending money, but we're not. It's like you're going to go put a Band-Aid on a wound that requires surgery. It's money being spent, but nothing is gonna be resolved.
Right.
Because we have to, y'all should take a look at the cause, not the effect.
So I will say that we are doing that in conjunction with this. So I am very passionate about public health and prevention. That's why National City has become the first fire department in the country or in the state of California to offer flu shots. We gave COVID shots. We've been doing that since 2019 with the flu shots.
We do
drowning prevention. There are a significant amount of things that we need to that we do, as well as we need to increase. A lot of that starts with education of a lot of different things. Just being a low socioeconomic area, National City is, there are significant amount of problems, right? We have a ton of fast food restaurants in National City that are part of the problem. We don't have nearly enough good quality food in National City. I can go on for days and days about that. We are trying to address it in incremental steps as best we can.
And there hasn't, I don't believe, there has been an increase in amounts of cardiac arrest. So the same numbers for each year are about the same for how many people are actually having cardiac arrest in National City. What we want to improve, we need to work on education, health care, all of that to help prevent that number from increasing. Mm-hmm. But we are trying to increase the survival of those that occur. So does that make sense? So the numbers aren't getting worse. It's not a mean to come across as it's becoming more of a problem.
Sure.
Does that help?
Yeah, it helps. However, this conversation needs to be continued.
I was just going to agree. So I have a youth organization, and the biggest things is the resources that the youth have available to them. And just for me doing this in the last year, I'm realizing that a lot of the children and the families don't even know that these things are available to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one big thing that I have been passionate about, is bringing the resources to our community. And like Mr. Robinson said, it's like educating not just the adults, but the children. And a lot of times, the adults, I can say for myself, the adults are so busy working that the kids aren't even able to get into these available programs. And so if we're able to bring the resources to them, the education to them, wherever it may be, I think that will, one, help. You know, I live here. I know that like you said, the fast food restaurants. I know the stress from a parent that's trying to work to pay a $4,000 a month rent. Like, I know these problems, but if the families don't know the resources that's available to them, like, how are we getting these resources education on how to teach. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a former medical assistant, so teaching CPR to a child is important. You know, teaching these things to the youth will be important. Teaching the children how to eat, how to cook, how to grow their own foods. I think that will help us lead to less, you know, less stress on the heart, less stress on the head. You know, I agree. But it's like you say, I believe that it will be a longer conversation and a little bit more preparation for our community and prepping our future generations.
Yeah. Right. There's three big tenets in public health, right? You have primary prevention, secondary prevention, and tertiary prevention. Primary prevention is the education of how to eat healthy, things like that. Secondary education is when you get the disease, so diabetes in this case, how to stay healthy with diabetes. The tertiary public health is when you have an acute episode and you're calling 911, that's who comes out and helps you. The fire department does a very good job of the tertiary effects of public health. I am trying to bring in the secondary and the primary components to that. However, the United States as a whole is not very good with the preventative medicine. Don't get me on a soapbox.
It's to be continued.
Yeah,
here, we're only going to be hitting on highlights.
Right.
And then we're going to want to discuss them. But I really appreciate the contribution to this meeting. I will follow up, as I'm sure as everybody else will.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much. Thank you, it's a lot to
you.
Thank you.
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yep. Any other questions, comments, concerns?
Don't be a stranger.
When do you plan to push this forward?
After fire season?
Wow.
So when is fire season officially over?
Never.
It's definitely expanded. It's probably now from June into
November.
But then I've been on fires in January. So, But we are incrementally, we both have separate jobs that we have to do well at. And this is kind of a...
Side project that you are both kind of taking on, or is it something that the...
This is a side project that we're both passionate about.
Oh, good.
So I went to a conference, some cardiac conference, and I learned that some of these other places were doing it. Mm-hmm. And I thought immediately of National City because I've seen the calls that we've had in these parks, and I know the population and how important it would be to have something like that. So I presented the idea of having National City be a pilot for a larger RCCP program for all of our agencies. But this is kind of just our little thing that we're trying to get started.
Well,
we don't have anybody a formal
job. But John, Fire Chief has bought off on this, and so we're just moving forward as we can.
Got it. It doesn't look like we need any formal vote, but I would say from what I've heard here today, it sounds like the committee is in support of however it may be in the future.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, the price tag is very,
very
minimal, to be honest. So even, I mean, obviously, if there's grants out there, you want to go hit those up first. But
and our goal would be at least to start off the program, 5-year grant with a person that will be able to inspect these.
Sure.
Person that would be able to buy the replacements for the 5 years. And after that, if we don't get another grant, it would fold into the fire department where we already have a public access to defibrillator program, and we would just add these to that.
So have all that already been budgeted on how much it will cost for us to actually, get it
right,
started?
So we have a budget on what it costs to replace a battery and the defibrillator pads, and we are working on that budget for this, the broader grant.
Yeah.
Again, it would be a portion of the big, larger grant to increase cardiac arrest survival for National City.
But I feel...
Because of that chain, we need all of them.
I feel very strongly that if, after a five-year, we didn't get grant funding for it, the fire department would easily be able to bring that internally.
Sure.
Especially because that's what the fire department does, right? That kind of hits on what we do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey.
Appreciate it. Questions, feel free to call the fire department, ask me, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you guys about it.
No, James Sheldon.
And what?
James sounds familiar.
San Diego Captain.
It sounds familiar. I might know him by a song. I'm more of a see people when I don't remember their names.
Yeah.
Robinson.
Great guy.
But Devin sounds familiar.
Yeah. San Diego Fire
Department. Well, I'll get in contact with him.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Nice evening.
Yeah.
Table the presentation that we had to address the city council for validity of this committee, because those of us that have been here, we see that we come together, but it doesn't have any impact on the city council. So we're going to table the presentation until we find ourselves back at a point where we can confidently, without doubt, address the city council.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. I was out for about 3-4 weeks, and I missed the opportunity to come in and go over the PowerPoint. But it is a good time because we have some new faces, and I'll go ahead and send out that PowerPoint again, and that way the group will receive it as well. Would you like to table it until, so would I have an action to, so currently the presentation would be November 19th?
I thought it was 26th.
No,
19th. The 19th?
November 19th.
So we're going to forget about that, right?
Sure. I think that's a good idea. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to table it until we regroup, because there's only person here, me and Daniel.
I mean, so is everyone else out?
No, Nora could not make it today.
Okay.
And Alex, he's still a part of the group.
Okay.
Just didn't see
but him. But he done missed two meetings.
I saw him.
And he's responsible for a certain area. Anyway, let's go forward.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we table the presentation.
A second.
Okay, great. Thank you both. And to the group. What I normally would do is I would put it through like the system, it gets put on the calendar to go to city council. So we still have, so we have November, we have a meeting, our committee meeting. Mm-hmm. December, I have to double check, but I think we might be
I think, yeah,
off
right.
In December.
Yeah, I think so.
Technically, if we were to put it to January or February, we were to give a date to it right now, it might not be realistic. So maybe we come back in the next meeting with some dates in mind.
Yeah, we all know the variables involved. Those that are probably even the gentleman and lady that's here, they know their variables involved in getting a committee to the state for commitment, persistence, and longevity. So those are the issues that we have to address, and
yes. This
ain't the time to do it.
Thank you. Okay, so I had a motion and a second. Great.
The BCC training?
Oh, no, not yet.
Kimball Holiday Booth.
Yep.
What's it for, Halloween?
No, Christmas.
For Christmas?
Yep.
So every year, second Saturday in December, we have a Kimball Holiday. And I put it as a non-action item, so that way we could vote in November if we wanted to be present. So I'll be working it as a city staff member. Well, not working, but I'm working. I'll be there on that
November
day.
Or December?
December. Oh, sorry. December.
Okay.
December. Sure. Second Saturday in December.
Yeah,
and
December.
I thought it would be kind of a good idea if you had a booth out there, talk about what this committee does, get more, to let people know that they have a say in the community and parks, recreation, and senior services. So just an idea if you guys think we should have a booth out there and then rotate people that want to answer questions. If the booth was vacant for an hour or two, it wouldn't be a big, significant thing, but could be a good opportunity for people to...
And who will we talk to about having...
I would be planning it and working with a team of supervisors.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a booth already. So I can man it as well because I'll have some people with me. And then whoever wants to kind of hang out and bottles of water so you guys can hang out.
Great. Two birds, one stone. Okay, that'd be one.
Yeah.
So no action needed, but just one.
Cool.
To
staff report.
So we had the report from Victor. He's at the end of the table. But he has to go at 4:30. He's in very early in the day, so he usually goes up first. So I'll provide the recreation update. I'm just going to shut the door real quick.
Yeah.
So recreation.
Name and phone number on the back. Would you do the same, please? And excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Because I would definitely want to contact you.
Yes, sir.
And also you, man. I talked to you earlier. It's interesting how pieces come together. So, to be continued.
Yes, sir.
So, go back on to recreation report. So, as many of us are aware, the El Toyon Recreation Center has been closed, and so all of the programs that were there have been moved over to MLK. So we currently have a packed hip-hop class for adults and youth. We have Ballet for Loco. We moved a big stage over and put it in half of the room. So we're keeping really busy with that. We also have our plans for a Kimball Holiday, where we're planning to have three trains that will go around the park, a Ferris wheel, a snow hill. It's all free to the public. There'll be a tree lighting and a stage with entertainment, lots of vendor booths and just informational booths from the community. So we're very much looking forward to that. Very, very focused right now on Kimball Holiday. The team of supervisors are doing an awesome job every day, just making sure that we're getting confirmed contracts and liability waivers and insurance all squared away. Our senior program right now, normally another city employee is here. Her name is Zaida Corrado, and she is a recreation supervisor overseeing senior services. And she's over at the arts building right now doing a crochet program. It's an intergenerational program where they're literally knitting together, crocheting. Mm-hmm. It's called Knitting Together the Generations. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing yarn bombing. And it's taking great success. So you'll start seeing yarn bombing pop up around National City. Mm-hmm. We also have senior programming every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12. We serve coffee there. And we have karaoke and lots of activities. And then we have our senior nutrition program that operates Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 12:30. No cost for seniors ages 60 and older. And that is partially funded through the County of San Diego, partially funded through the City of San Diego. And
what time is it again?
That is a senior nutrition program. The lunch program is Monday through Friday, 11 to 12:30. And That's it for announcements from city staff.
Well, next thing on the agenda is board members' comments. And Daniel?
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, I think we should do some formal introductions so we can make sure everyone's on board. That way we get to know each other and we can sing Kumbaya together. But also just want to, before we do that, for those of you that are new and maybe even us still, when we're going through the agenda, it's always going to be the same kind of setup. That's what I noticed. And then the only one that's always kind of seemed to get a little mixed up is where it's the non-agenda public comments. I believe that one's meant for visitors, right, from the community.
Yeah.
And if not, then we just kind of skip that one.
Okay.
We tend to, sometimes, and I'm guilty of it as well, sometimes we tend to take our board member comments and fill them in that spot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just makes sense based on the kind of conversation that's happening, but really that should be just public comment. Otherwise, yeah, if we could do just introductions, and if you guys, you know, when I came into this committee, I wasn't quite sure what I was coming into. However, I had an idea of where I wanted to go with it. And I think we're doing a pretty good job at getting there. I've spoken to Mr. Crawford and staff as well. And I think we're really pushing. Just to add on to what Mr. Crawford said earlier, in terms of that presentation, what we're really trying to do is not just be a committee that is here, get together, and then nothing comes from it. We want to actually have some type of input, or at least acknowledgement,
yes,
as to the conversations that happen here, so that we're actually a working committee that's providing feedback so that they can make, we can provide some insight or input so that they can make perhaps better decisions, or even take action on some of the items that we address. And that's ultimately what I think we're striving for, is to be a little more effective within City Hall, really, as a committee. Without further ado, if you'd like to introduce yourselves, I'll introduce myself. I think we'll start with ourselves. My name is Daniel Perez. I've lived here in National City for 13 years now. I'm also the president of the Las Palmas Little League, so you'll hear me often bring up things with the parks, not just Las Palmas. I've been making my runs with the other parks. I would say the thing that really brings me here is the youth. I'm really interested in making sure the kids have a good place to play, to have activities, and first and foremost, safety for not just the kids, everyone who's there at the park. The kids are there, the parents are there, grandparents are there, and make sure we have clean facilities for them. Make sure things are running the way they should be. We all understand how they should be, and I can tell you, they have not been running the way they should be. Our bathrooms aren't the best conditions, and those are some things we need to address, and please be vocal about it, because it's something that needs to be addressed and heard. That's me, Mr. Crawford.
My name is Joseph Crawford. I've been on this committee since 2019. I've seen it come and go. I watched men and women come to the committee and express interest, but it seemed like once they find a bone they can use, they're gone. That's like human behavior. Mm-hmm. But with all that said and done, I wanted to talk a little bit about intergenerational communication, because since I've sat here, I began to see that's something that everybody tends to shy away from. We've become an international village with so many different nationalities, customs, and cultural traits that we seem to shy away from one another, merely because the simplicity of, like this table right here. There was a time when people came together at a table just to eat and to check on one another to see what they're doing every day and if they are moving ahead on a positive direction. But it seemed like since 1980, maybe, around in there, we all went away from the table. We only come to the table when we think there's some money that you can get involved with. We've gone so far away from the fundamental things that's necessary to encourage you, children. And I can understand why. I just, you know, got involved with higher education and I'm pursuing a degree in sociology. But one thing that I observe at school is that I'm around mostly young men and women that were born after 2000. And their whole way of living is totally different than I was born in 1951. So what they're experiencing is like really new to me. They don't want to talk to you. They don't say nothing to you. They act like they're afraid of you. But if you use common sense, you can encourage a positive relationship. As a senior citizen, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've gained some wisdom, hopefully. But the bottom line is this. We need to come up and promote conversation between seniors and you so that there can be some type of generational exchange, especially after 9/11. 9/11 was only basically experienced by new young people. But those of us before 9/11, we experienced a lot of tragedy internationally. So security among youth has dwindled. They go forward every day, but they are afraid all the time. Every minute of the day, they are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen to them next. Like when we were brought up, we had the same fears, but it seemed like everything has accelerated. So my point is, I'm asking everybody present, let's take a look at intergenerational communication as a means to bind the generation together with threads of love and understanding, not no money, no honey, no dollar.
Thank you. My name is Joanne McGee. I'm the Acting Community Services Director, and I oversee the Recreation Division and the Nutrition Division. Really happy to be here. I've been here a little over 2 years now. Worked at the City of San Diego before, County of San Diego, the City of Carlsbad. My family immigrated to America when I was a baby, and we moved to Nashville City. Dad worked in NASCO, elementary school here. All my family and friends are here, so I'm just happy to be able to serve and to serve the community that welcomed me to this country. So I'm here.
I'm Jesus Cizon. I'm a Filipino. It's my first time to attend this committee meeting or advisory. I'm working at the Naval Medical Center in Balboa in military gym. I'm a recreation assistant. And in the afternoon, I'm working at City of San Diego in La Jolla in Parks and Recreation. I am also a chief financial officer of a Filipino organization here in San Diego, which is called Olongapo City Bayanihan Club. I just want to collaborate or improve any senior citizen program and develop our parks and recreation here. That's why I joined this group.
Perfect.
Amen.
So my name is Jose Acevedo. I'm a student at San Diego State University, majoring in journalism. And basically I'm here to take notes of this this meeting for an assignment I'm working on.
Would you mind sending it to me? My hands will cramp it.
So what's the project?
Well, it's kind of like a program. So we are hired with this program, and they ask us to select a meeting to attend to and take notes for them.
Came to a good one.
Know that from the beginning, I would have stopped right. Just kidding.
And basically, I will make this clean and send to them, and I'm getting paid for that, so it's actually a good thing.
Will you be back at the next one?
Probably.
You get paid to be here.
And of course, part of my class, we have Polka First class, so I'm getting points for doing this as well. So yeah.
So really, really, you should have been introduced down in the public comments. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Right on. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, my name is Latanya Harris-Kroon. I am a National City resident as well, and how I ended up here was I just came to a city council meeting and I ended up being introduced. It was the day of the Knights event. It was like a city Knights event happening.
Oh, yeah.
And earlier that day was the meeting, and so Randy introduced me to the mayor and a couple other people, said, hey, you have a youth program, I think that you should be a part. And I expressed to Marcus how I've lived here for a while and I have not had any type of support with my own city. And at first I was feeling really, really defeated about coming, and Marcus and Randy and another young lady, they really egged me and said, hey, I really think that, you'll be valuable to our city. We really do need, And so it took me a minute because, again, I felt really defeated. And so probably about a month later, Marcus called me and said, hey, have you looked at any of the committees? There's some boards that I feel like you could be useful on. And so I went ahead with the Parks and Recs because, again, my biggest thing is sharing with our community what resources is available. But typically I'm doing that in San Diego or Chula Vista, and it really had me down because I'm like, I live here, I want the people and the youth that's here to know what we're doing. The last event that I put on, I had San Diego probation department there, I had the FBI in engagement team there, but again, I want my city to know about these things that's available. My youth organization, I'm very new, but the biggest thing is the fact that I want to bridge the gap between community resources and the knowledge. I say one thing that I want to do is I want my intentions to be impactful. So I want to make impactful, I want everything that I do to be impactful. I have a 17-year-old and I have an 11-year-old, and both are Chula Vista students because that's where my family, is. But at the same time, it's like I want where I live to see the needs of my children, of your children, your grandchildren, and to not feel supported. But I live here. This is where I pay my bills. This is where I pay rent. It's kind of hard. And so my main focus and reason for being here is to make an impactful impression on the youth as well as the community. I have a senior mom who lives with me, and a lot of the resources is not readily available to her. You know, she has to like really get down and all these rabbit holes to figure out what's available for her.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of hard. You know, my mom's 66 years old, and you know, a lot of times I'm not always available to take her somewhere, but I have to get online, I have to call 211, I have to call all these different places to see what's available for her. You know, she's an active senior. She's not, you know, sitting at home, sleep in the corner. She wants to be involved, but if I don't know what's available or
right.
what's out there for her, then how, you know. So yeah, so I'm here to support in any way I can. Get in there, you know, I'm a real in the trenches girl. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And so we came here in 2013 to California, and we moved to Chula Vista in 2016. And I'm here to see how I can support and, you know, where I can help.
And I had a paper about.
Where was the paper?
Where was it signed?
I didn't get
that way I can call everybody by their name instead of.
Yes.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Rick's?
Very glad you're here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. So you want to be a member of the committee?
Yeah, I am. I actually am.
You are.
I did my oath about 2 weeks ago.
That's good. And you also, right?
Yeah, I am.
You just visiting, right?
Yeah.
And normally I would new folks coming, I'd send out an email to let the team know, but I've been out of commission, but I'm back. So
thank you.
I appreciate
you
guys being here.
You want my name too?
I already got yours.
I got you.
Let me see. I'd like to thank Daniel for his courage to step forward and become an impactful person in National City. As most of us know, he's running against city councilmen to become a city councilman himself.
Mm.
So I saw him on the news, and my feedback, I talked to you about it personally, but one thing I can say, I respect your courage. Because courage and honor is something that seems to be going out of the door and dwindling among the youth,
sure.
as well as the senior citizens, because they spend most of that time trying to get away from chronic pain. And chronic pain is something that you don't got time for nothing else. You don't even got time for yourself. I think that the word impactful is what we should take and put in our vocabulary as a motto for this committee, because
mm-hmm.
if we ain't making no impact, we
that's
just wasting our time. And I've been here since 2019, and already, like I was suggesting to everyone, every 12 months, it seems like we start all over again.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm not going to start all over again. I'm going to continue the ball rolling, whether at this table or out in the community.
Yes,
at this table, for being here so long, I see that we're limited in terms of what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
But out in the neighborhood, in the community, look forward to working with you, and definitely you. So, we can still go forward. We just got to put out the presentation part.
We will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Appreciate that. We're good, right? That's Tommy.
Yeah.
Well, pleasure to meet you all. And you snuck
yeah.
in, so sorry we missed you. But I think we're...
Are you running again?
Second, and I'm calling.
What district?
So everybody good?
Yes, we're good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one thing I'd like to know before y'all go. I know you feel fulfilled in this meeting. I think that you feel fulfilled. How do you feel being here the first time? Do you feel what you came to feel?
Yeah, I think I will learn a lot, and I can see that we can do a lot of projects and recommendations for the city council regarding with the senior citizen and our parks and recreation, because I'm an active readers of the I Love National City and the National City Government. I got a lot of comments and things that I always read right there by the community. So maybe it's my time to share it with you, all of it.
Yeah, I see you out there.
With all that said and done, I think that we can adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Yes.
I'll second.
Yes.
Okay, meeting adjourned at 5:14.
Perfect.
That's not bad.